Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
To Question Reality. My name is Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show worldwide. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests provide advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. Now, the guest on this show, you are going to get cream of the crop on here. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, voiceover actors, singer, songwriters, comedian, novelists, script supervisors, stunt people. And the list goes on and on. We throw an entertainment attorney in once in a while because you're going to need one eventually. So, now, what is special about this show is that all of our guests have been selected because they are at different stages of their careers, from celebrity status, obviously, to professional. And once in a while, we bring on the novice or the beginner just because we like to hear about the trials and tribulations of what it is like to pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Tuna fish, they're eating it month after month, year after year. But you know what? Eventually, they get that filet mignon if they hang in there. So we have them on. Now, this means obviously that we will have someone on the show that will be able to answer all of your show business career questions. Now, if you missed any of our past shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, you have to go to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website. And you just search for the show title, which is Question Reality, or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can listen or download the shows anytime, 24 hours a day. All of the Question Reality shows are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure that you get our newly designed free app on the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website, located towards the bottom. And finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show to promote themselves, their products, or help listeners with sage career advice, we are currently booking for the fall. As you know, our show is always booked 6 months to a year in advance. We have a waiting list so long, but please go on to the official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, different from latalkradio.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link and submit. We would love to have you on the show, for goodness sake. Submit, submit, submit. Now, today we have our lovely, of course, the person that helps me get this show done. I think he's going to die any second. He's got the fan going. I don't know. He's like doing a runway modeling show with the fan. I don't know what's going on with him. But we have the lovely Albert Baiko. So there you go. Yes, give yourself a little gong there. No, that's actually supposed to be the applause. The applause. What happened? Yeah, you don't get a gun. There you go. My goodness. Yes, yes. I know these are tacky applause tracks, but I love them. You know I love this applause track. And we have been waiting for her to come on the show for so long. She's sexy, and she's sultry, and she's just gorgeous. She's beautiful. Alina Madison is on the show today. Yes, she is. Alina Madison. And let me just tell you, Alina Madison is taking the entertainment industry industry by storm. From the runway to television to the silver screen, this former elite model has parlayed a successful modeling career into an actress, producer, and a writer career. So she is rocking and rolling. My goodness. Welcome to the show, Alina.
Hi. Thank you. I love the applause, too.
Thank you so much. As a person who appreciates my applause track. Now, just a little bit, Alina, the first time I saw Alina was in a movie called Last Call at Murray's, and I saw it twice because I'm associate producer on it, so I was like, yes, I love it, let me see it again, and every single time I see it, I see something different. Every time you see a movie, there's always something different, but what I noticed was that Alina just kept getting more beautiful. I'm like, oh my God, I thought she was beautiful, but there she is again. She's even more beautiful. Oh my God. And you just, I think to really appreciate a movie, you really have to see it more than once. I mean, if you like it, if you don't, I say see it again too, because you never know if you're really missing something.
I totally agree.
Absolutely. Now, you have been acting for a while. My first question is, when Alina Madison was a little itty bitty baby girl, maybe a little older than that, but what made you decide that you wanted to be an actress? What sparked it?
I remember exactly. I was in Sioux City, Iowa, sitting in my grandmother's living room on the floor reading some like trashy magazine, and I just thought, I just announced to her, I turned around, I said, Grandma, I'm going to be an actress. And she put her knitting down and she looked at me and she's like, I believe that you will. And then it just stuck in my head ever since.
Were you watching something? Was it a certain show? Or?
I think she had some talk show on, but I honestly don't remember. I just remember reading the magazines and it just hit me like a ton of bricks all of a sudden.
Okay. So you didn't say you wanted to be a model. You just said you wanted to be an actress.
Yes.
For sure.
Okay. Exactly.
All right. Now, not a lot of models can successfully make the transition from runway model into a successful actress, producer, and writer. As a matter of fact, I can only think of a couple. Tyra Banks. Oh, my. I'm obsessed with her. Tyra Banks, Brooke Shields. Oh my gosh. Who else has done that?
Charlize Theron.
Right. Oh yeah, she's very successful. So, we were leaving out Cindy Crawford and Brooke Shields.
Right.
Oh my goodness, we forgot about that. Now, you are of course on that path as well. What from your perspective are the steps that it takes to make that transition? Because you were an elite model. Mm-hmm. First of all, how did you become a model? Because you were on the path as a child for an actress, but obviously because of your look, someone's like, I gotta snatch her up and get her modeling, right?
Oh, thank you.
Because that's what you did before acting, right?
Yeah, I started off in modeling. Part of it was honestly a height thing that I just met.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just went into some open calls that they have, modeling agencies has. I looked at the agencies and then I ended up going into Elite as well, and they signed me there, and that just kind of started the path. Even though I knew that I wanted to get into acting, I thought it kind of all blended in together. I didn't realize they were two completely separate businesses at the time, because I, you know, come from a small town in Wyoming. There is no movie sets or movie stars out there. So when I came...
What?
No!
In Wyoming?
They film things there, but
what?
there's not like the industries there. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see. I thought you were saying they do have somewhere to go see a darn film,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm like, my God, where the heck is she coming from?
Well, you'd have to see it.
Okay. Well, what's the name of the town?
Cheyenne.
Oh, that's pretty big. I've heard of Cheyenne.
Yeah, it's one of the bigger towns other than Casper, but still, there wasn't a lot like of acting classes that I went to, right, or anything like that. So when I moved out to LA, I literally had no clue. I thought it was like going to be one big movie set. So when I got here, I was like, wait, where's all the movie stars and where's all the actors? And I had no idea.
So was there somewhere, where did you go to sign up with Elite? Did you move out of Wyoming, or
yeah,
did they have an Elite?
No, I moved out of Wyoming and I moved here to LA, and then I moved in with a girlfriend of mine and her mother. We were best friends since childhood and had known each other from Cheyenne. And so I just had the wherewithal to ask around and figure out, you know, to go look up names of agencies. And So that's what I did. And then I started runway modeling, and I got to travel to Hungary and Paris and Japan. And so it was very, it sounds very glamorous, and it really was a great experience. But I always knew in the back of my head that acting was really the place that I wanted to go.
When you were modeling, what did you model? Like high fashion or?
Yeah, I did some print, and then like catalogs, things like that, like sportswear, Target type stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was on a couple of shampoo bottles and conditioner bottles. And
Well, it's better than being on a milk carton, that's right?
That's true. Yeah. And then I did a lot of runway shows as well. Like I did some for Kritzia and Calvin Klein and things like that. It was really exciting. It was really fun.
Calvin Klein model. Woo! Now, you had the opportunity to work with renowned director David Lynch in Mulholland Drive. And again, so we want to know, how did you get the audition, first of all? Well, a lot of people get there different ways.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I started out in the industry with just a talent manager. And it was just referred by, actually, a friend of a friend of mine. So it was just completely random. But I went in to talk to him, and then he said, well, I'll send you out on an audition. Let's see how you do. It wasn't the Mulholland Drive one, but he did send me out on another audition. And they called me back and they said that I did really well. So he said, well, I'll try you out for a bit and I'll sign you, because they said you were really good, but you just need a little more experience. But you know, let's get you in a class and let's, you know, get you out there. So eventually I just ended up on that audition and ended up booking it, which I didn't realize how big at the time it was of a deal it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, where had you taken acting classes, or are you considered a natural actress? You know,
I like to consider myself a natural
actress. Got it. I'm a natural.
Well, the funny thing is, or not so funny, is I didn't start out taking acting classes, and I ended up booking a couple of jobs right in a row. I got Taft Hartley into the union.
Ah.
So I was like, oh, this is so easy. I can't believe it. And then I didn't work for like a year and a half, because I really needed to go to school and like figure out the
right,
really what I was doing. So I ended up taking basically every class in town, I think. But one that I especially love was the Joan Baron D.W. Brown. It's the Meisner Technique. They're in Santa Monica. It was a I think 2 or 3 year program that I graduated from, but it was amazing. I mean, it really changed everything for me.
Now, something you just said, I want to just throw this in there, because you said it was the Meisner Technique. Now, a lot of people email me, they're very confused. They're like, we hear about method acting and the Meisner Technique and then the Viola Spolin. What is different between the Meisner Technique and the method, say, for example, which are the two, and how do you know which one is the best one for you?
Well, I mean, I think it is method acting. It's just basically really feeling your feelings, like, real, you know, I mean, I know it sounds so obvious, I guess. Well, of course you're gonna feel your feelings, but it really is going to that place of every moment is an extreme moment, even though you're not necessarily acting extreme on the screen, but the way you're feeling will come across. So that's basically.
So is Meisner like a subcategory of method?
Yeah, it's like all interrelated.
It's all together. So what would be something, a method of acting that's extremely to the left or the right? Like, I heard English mask. So English mask is where you, say, for example, put on a costume and you feel the character from the outside, and then you feel the character on the inside, whereas method, you got to feel it on the inside and then it comes out, right?
Yeah, I did take a class, and I forgot the name of that technique, about putting on the costume basically and physically being the character before you're internally the character. For me, that didn't work. I just tended to lean towards the internally. If I felt it, then I could externally put it out there. And I mean, there's even like so much so, like, because on some of the films that I've worked on, like, if there was one in particular, it was a movie called Huff, and it was very like horror drama, you know, there's murder and all this stuff in it, but the man who played my husband, he was Charlie O'Connell, it was like, because I already knew from the very beginning that him and I were he was gonna kill me basically in the movie, that I automatically had a problem with it. Just, and I even said and, you know, just because in my head I was already in like the character, even though he's great and we're totally fine, but I was just even saying at the time, I said, listen, it's nothing personal, but I it's just that you know, getting that feeling there that I guess came with me off the set as well.
You've done, I was looking at your resume on IMDb, you've done a ton of horror films, right? Yeah. Are you considered like a scream queen? I don't know. I know there was a show called Scream Queen, but what is that? Someone who does horror really well?
It's someone who's
not just,
done a lot
not
of
just
horror
screaming
films.
And you can do, they call scream queens people who've done horror and they are really good at it, because it is very different doing horror movies than it is comedy or even drama for what do you think you need to become really good at horror?
Well, funny enough,
it's hard to be convincing, because I mean, how many times are you going to be killed? I mean,
are we scared? Exactly. I'm not sure. I mean, because when I started doing horror films, which was early on in my career, I don't know. I loved it. I mean, it was just fun, and I loved making that really, you know, scary feeling. And you know, people would always ask me, "Well, weren't you scared?" And I was just like, "No, there's like the director, and there's like the
there's people
blood.
There.
There's people everywhere. You're freezing. It's nighttime. There's lights everywhere. You know, but
that would kind of make you feel safe. How do you, as an actress, get yourself to make it look realistic that you are going to be killed when you know that there's a safety net there? How do you do that? It seems like magic.
Right.
It's like magic.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
I totally agree, because even sometimes at the time, you don't know how it's going to read on screen. And then when you see it later, you're literally like, oh my gosh, I would have never thought that would have came across so scary like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me, I just, with my characters, I have different ways, I think, sometimes of breaking them down depending on what the character is and what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's always that internal thing. So I just think I know if I'm going to get killed or could possibly, I really go to the big place of that really could happen, even though it's on like a horror film that is obviously not
real. Does
that
affect you after? Like, how do you turn it off once you leave?
No.
Because I hear about actresses that they play roles and they're so shaken up, or they're so into the character that they just live the character for days afterward.
I've had moments of characters that's happened, and where I literally will just, if it's like a really heavy scene or like a really emotional one or just struck me a certain way, that I'll, for a little while after, I'll just be like, wow, that kind of really affect, like I really felt that. But no, I'm not one that tends to live in the character.
Yeah. Some people do. Now let's go back to David Lynch. What do you feel? What was it like, I guess, to work with such an iconic director in the entertainment industry? And what did you learn working on his film that you hadn't prior to this?
Well, first of all, he is very, he was very soft spoken, like didn't speak loudly, you know, and would kind of like almost make it seem like you were having a private conversation. Mm. And he was very specific in what he wants. I mean, there's no question in exactly what he's looking for, which I thought was really interesting, because I had even saw him, because I had met Naomi Watts in the trailer, and then I saw her out on set, and I saw him working with her, talking with her, and I could just tell, like, and just when I could overhear him talking with the actors or, you know, telling me what to do. And it was just very specific and just very, almost
like,
kind of mysterious. This is
what he wanted, and that's what he
wanted.
Wants.
Yeah, totally.
That's what I want.
And it was a little mystery in it, too, I have to say. It was like more of a heavy type of
like a
feeling.
Heavy vibe. So what did you learn from him that you hadn't learned? Maybe something you learned as an actress, or maybe you learned about the business, with specifically that he sparked something within you.
Well, I just think being on that set, and then it was probably more after I came off of it and then saw the movie and saw like what the big deal was, because I knew there was like a lot of buzz around it, but I still wasn't really sure what that was.
You're focusing on your job, right?
And plus, it was, you know, early on as well. So I think what I walked away knowing, looking back, was like, wow, I really had a profound experience, like with an amazing director on a classic film,
right?
Which is, you know, I mean, that doesn't happen every day.
That's right.
So it was.
Who was your character, by the way?
Oh, I played. God, what was my? what was her name? They called me a blonde starlet, like a platinum blonde starlet, because I played one of the starlets. It was a very small role, but still, it counts.
No small plot. Well, that is truly something to put on your resume. Yes. My God, can't say that. Now, you played the wife of Academy Award nominee John Hawkes in the character study film, Small Town Saturday Night, starring one of Albert and I, our favorite actors, Chris Pine. We're obsessed with Chris Pine, and we just love everything he's in, just everything. He's talk about natural and organic. We just feel he is so natural and organic. Now, again, how did you get the audition? What was your role? Because the reason I keep asking how you got the audition is because I want actors to know there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Right.
Meaning, you can be, when you're starting out, you can go on Actors Access, LA Casting, you can get it that way. Mm-hmm. You can go to a party, meet a friend, and they say, hey, you know what? There's an audition coming up. You should check it out. This is what you do. So how did you,
land that one?
Yeah.
That one, that casting office in particular called me in many times, because one of the first times I'd went in, I don't remember if I booked that job or if I just did such a good read that they called me back. So then they would call me in for things that they thought I was right for. Mm. And I'm sure that my manager submitted me for it as well, but I fit the character. So when they called me in, they knew. It's like one of those relationships where they knew you're going to show up, you're going to do
right.
well by them, and they're not going to be embarrassed that they called you in.
Which is very important. Yeah. What Elena is saying is that even if you don't get a part, if they send you out, even if you don't get it, if you were professional, you were there on time, you did a great job, they're going to think, she would be great for, and they're going to remember you. And I also suggest that you send little postcards if you're going to be in a play. You're not bugging them unless you're going there camping out inside of their office. If you send a little postcard once in a while, or just let them remember you, because they have so many people, Alina, right?
They have so many people.
What do you think are some of the best ways to keep them remembering you, other than doing a great audition? Because there's a lot of people that can come in and do a great audition.
Right. Well, I mean, I think
stand out.
I mean, I think thank you notes are always nice. Mm-hmm. I think, postcards, because they're easy. They don't have to open the mail up, and it's just kind of like they see it if you're doing something or in something.
Right.
But, nowadays with everything on the, social media, I mean, it's like so much easier for everyone to know what you're doing, which is a good thing. But it's also, it's what you put out there.
Oh, it's so different. We're going to be talking about social media in a minute. But as far as Chris Pine, what was it like working with our beloved Chris Pine?
He is so nice. He really was so nice. I mean, that's...
Oh, he's so delicious.
And you're right. He is very natural and very
organic. He seems like he's friendly, outgoing, approachable.
Very approachable. That's a perfect word. Yeah, he really was. I mean, he really... was a really nice guy.
Did you do a scene with him?
I did, but most of my scenes were with John Hawkes.
Mm-hmm.
And that character was fun because we were at odds and we had a child together. And basically, he comes back into town and we're completely estranged and apart. And we're not exactly an upscale group of people, but and we have a small son, and it's a very
there might be a trailer involved, people. There might be a double wide.
Yeah, exactly. And so we had just like a very volatile where he gets in a fist fight and I come running out and scream and yell at him, and then he takes our kid. So it was a very dramatic, but it was really good. And John Hawkes is an amazing actor as well.
Oh my gosh. Now, recently you won a Best Actress Award in the feature film Last Call at Murray's. That should be like an applaud. That's some hard shit right there. Some hard shit to be winning Best Actresses. And we, of course, as I said, we watched the film twice and found new things all the time. I am very familiar with Linda Palmer. she is, oh God, the epitome of what independent film producers, writers, directors should be. I am obsessed with this woman. I mean, this is a woman who, when she says she's doing a film, that's all she needs to say.
Right.
Because it will get done. Mm-hmm. It will get done right. And you can believe that it's going to be in every festival that exists on the planet.
Right.
And that is so important.
It
is. Because a lot of times, you know, actors, cast and crew, they spend time on these independent films. And then once they're done, the people that are in the production, they move on to another one, and they don't put it in a lot of festivals, or they just kind of drop it and move on. And the actor is like, well, you know, why do I feel bereft of any kind of validation, or where are the awards, where are the laurels and accolades? And Linda Palmer works so hard.
She's so on it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I don't know any other independent film directors personally that work as hard as her. I mean, Last Call at Murray's won, what, 22 awards?
Oh, so many awards. I mean.
And then the movie she did prior to that, Our Father.
Yeah.
My God, I think it's like 25, 26. I can't even keep counting.
I know. Same here.
But the point is that she submits these films. So if you are lucky enough to work on a film with Linda Palmer, you are definitely going to go for the ride. Because every time I turn around, there's a festival, mm-hmm. there's something, which is what it's supposed to be.
Right.
Beat your film into the ground, right?
Mm-hmm,
because
yeah.
that's more exposure for you, Alina, the actors and the casting crew.
Oh, I totally agree. And she's amazing at that.
Oh, my God.
I've definitely learned a lot from her.
She is amazing. So, Last Call at Murray's. Oh, I just, working with Michael Gross. Because I was also associate producer on Our Father and got to meet him. And what is it like to work with an icon in this business? I mean, he has like a huge cult following. I mean, my God, he's so intense. He's such a great actor.
Yeah, he really is. Well, when I first met him at the table read, I mean, he was already really nice.
Yeah.
And then when we got to set, I was literally... I had even told him later when we were doing this one interview, I was actually a little nervous, you know, because I didn't even realize it because, you know, for so long, you know, we see actors everywhere, you know, all about town, this and that, the next thing, worked with them. But only once in a while, there will be somebody where I'll literally get nervous.
Yeah.
And because I was just like, he has been around for so long. He's so good. He carried so through that with his character in this film that I like completely bought
it. So different from as we know him. I mean, we know him as Mr. Keaton from Family Ties, right? I mean, the nice dad, you know, the wonderful guy. And but then we know him from Tremors, where he's got that huge cult following.
Right.
But then you see him in Last Call at Murray's, which is a totally different character.
Totally different character.
And
he pulled
amazing.
It off so amazingly.
Wow. That's isn't it wonderful to work with people like that?
Yes.
I mean, you must learn so much from them, and it just elevates your whole, you know, perception of the business to be able to work. You're like, I'm here working with someone like Michael Gross. I'm being directed by somebody like Linda Palmer and David Lynch.
Right.
Isn't that intense for you?
It is intense. And it just makes, you know, me really thankful. And then, you know, and also working with such professionals like that, it really does raise the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're thinking, well, I got to up my game for the next time. Oh, and let's not forget Eric Erickson. Talk about intense actors. We had him on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
He is.
Oh, my God. He's just really, like, involved in his craft.
Yeah.
And it's so great to see that. It really is. Because a lot of actors are like, yeah, I got an audition. Yeah, you know, I did a little hard. Ugh. But he takes every part and it is it. It is something. It has meaning.
It has meat.
I am here. It's meat and it's gritty. So
yeah, he's intense.
It's wonderful working with somebody that has passion like that.
Yes.
It really sparks you. It really gets you going. You also just completed a film called A War Within Us about PTSD.
Yes.
And again, what's the film about? Obviously PTSD, but, you know, what was your role? You know, how did you get the audition?
That audition I got through one of the acting sites.
Ah, Actors Access or LA Casting.
What it was?
Is there more than that?
Yes, there's like Casting Frontier.
Oh, Casting Frontier people.
Yes.
That's a new one we're hearing about.
There is. So I'm trying to remember which one it was, but I think it might have been Actors Access.
Okay.
Because I tend to be on that one a lot. So I submitted myself. I went in for the audition, and then they... I didn't even go to the callback. They actually emailed me and then offered me the role.
Wow, you must be so good. Well, we saw you. You're good. But my God, to get every... let's not talk about it. Let's move. So what did you learn about... What was your role? And what did you learn about working on this film that you didn't know before about PTSD?
Well, I played the wife. My husband had just come back from Iraq, and he left one type of a man, and he came back troubled and, you know, very torn and disturbed by what he saw. And I think that it was well written to when I was reading it, and then when we were filming it, that I could really feel like, God, this is sad. Like what happens? I mean, it's like, no, like it just doesn't go away.
No.
You know, like you walk around like, and they shot it to where he would like be kind of seeing those demons again. And at one point he takes a gun and is contemplating hurting himself, and he just can't like pull it together. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you're just affected after that.
Yeah. I have a very good friend whose husband was in Vietnam, and to this day he has dreams. And she has to keep a taser underneath her mattress because there have been a couple times where she's woke up and he's choking her, like trying to kill her because he thinks she's Viet Cong. So she has to tase him. And that was from like the 70s, and he still has the dreams.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean, it changes you.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're just not the same person after that. So it just really made me very sympathetic about, you know, what they go through and, you know, the trauma and everything.
Oh, my God. That you do some really intense... Don't you do any damn comedies, Alina? What's going on here?
I did a comedy with Linda Palmer that was hilarious. Halloween party.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. I played Cave Girl.
Oh, my gosh.
It's funny.
We got to see you more in comedy because it's like, oh, my God, she's the drama queen.
She got murdered.
And the horror queen. Oh. And you recently were a guest star on a new series on the Discovery Channel, Evil Things. We're back
to my
again. What was the film about, and what was your role?
Well, it is a new TV series that's coming out. I don't have the date yet, but I will certainly put it out there when I do. And I basically play a scary ghost woman. But I mean, like, literally the makeup that they did on me was true, like, horror makeup.
Special effects.
Yeah. And it's basically about just evil things going on that in different, like, every episode is different. Like this one, it was about a specific family, and they had this mask, and I can't go into too much details, but it just every episode's different, like a story within its own about just evil things.
Evil things. And you were you also wait a minute, you were on Sex in the ER, or what was that called?
Oh,
you
Untold Stories of the ER.
Yes, I had like three friends that were on that, and then Sex Sent Me to the ER. What is that? Weren't you?
Sex Sent Me to the ER. Yeah, I was on
that
one.
I had three friends on that too. Isn't that show a trip?
It's so trippy. Well, and the thing is too, like the way you read it, you're like, oh my gosh, like how are they going to pull this off? But they do it so campy and funny that you're like, oh my God, it's like so silly.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah. That's campy. They just couldn't
care less. I like campy.
I like it. Now, you also are giving back right now, Alina. You are involved with Present Now Foundation?
Yeah, it's a Present Now Foundation.
Go to presentnow.org, and their mission is basically what? To provide disadvantaged children with both essential and specialty items?
They do a variety of things. Like, they really focus on helping families in need that come out of domestic violence situations and don't have anywhere to go, and a lot of the times there's a huge financial strain. So they'll, like, pack, you know, backpacks full of school supplies to hand out to the kids. They have, you know, once a year we have a fundraiser. It's in January. We just had our last one in La Jolla, and it all goes gives back to the families. They're involved in some of the shelters, and it's just really focusing on the families, and just really that it's just such a, there's not sometimes a lot of light shined on mm-hmm, that problem, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So they're just really trying to do it in a very nice, kind way.
And if we wanted to help, we could give donations through the website.
Yeah, if you just go to presentnow.org, you'll see all the information on there. You can volunteer, you can donate.
Do they do like charity fundraisers where you get involved and you...
They have one every year in January, but like they're having an event coming up in the park where everybody's invited. Nice. And you can donate toys.
What day is that?
You know what? It's on the
website. Is it on the website? Yeah. Presentnow.org.
Yes. Thank you for
mentioning. Okay. And because you can donate maybe toys and canned goods or.
Yeah. You can.
Anything.
It lists everything on
there.
List yeah.
On the website. Okay. Well, it was so nice to you to give back. My gosh. How do you find the time? Really? That's what I want to ask you. You obviously have a son.
A right? daughter.
A daughter.
Yeah,
oh, 10-year-old
my gosh. Daughter.
Oh, I'm giving you a son. You have a daughter. How do you balance your life with having a child and being an actress? It is very hard. The hours. Explain how that works.
I wouldn't call it balance per se, but I do my best. Well, I have her very much involved in a lot of the things with me. Like even when we were shooting Last Call at Murray's, when she wasn't in school, she came to the set a lot. My downtime and things like, you know, we'll travel together and I keep her busy in a lot of activities, which she
How
loves
old is
anyway.
She?
She's 10. Yeah. And so, and then plus, just friends around and she goes over there and she's pretty independent. But I mean, it definitely is a... It
because
can be a struggle at times.
Long hours on the set.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you have to have a babysitter or somebody to watch
your
daughter.
Yeah,
and that costs money. And then the time away, because you can spend like sometimes up to 17 hours on the set.
And then you're driving like an hour and a half in from a set. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a struggle at times. But, I mean, in the end, I'm...
How do you manage it? What do you think would be the one piece of advice you would give a mother? What if she wanted to pursue a career as an actress, but she has a child and she's like, oh God, well, it would be too hard, but that's her passion. She really wants
to. The advice I would give is you can do both.
You can. If Alina can do it, you can do it, right? She found a way.
Yes. It's possible.
As Tim Gunn says, make it work.
Right.
What do you feel are the pros and cons of the life of being an actor?
Well, I think the pros are if you love it and you're doing it, you're happy and you're fulfilling a passion. I think that, it really is entertainment for people. You know, we all love movies. I love movies. Yeah. I appreciate good acting in movies. And sometimes I think it's funny, bad acting in movies. You know, I mean, but it's entertaining.
Yes.
And so I think to be a part of that as well. And if somebody can enjoy a role that I've done, then I mean that makes me happy too. That's fulfilling.
They're still
as well.
Talking about a role that you've done. For example, how many people have, if you've seen who was that Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction? I to this day will say to Albert, I will not be ignored, Albert. Right?
Yes.
That's or an Alien. Get off of her, you bitch.
Right.
In the movie. Yeah. There are, I mean, if you are a person who delivers a line like that and you can be, that itself is like you're a one-hit wonder.
Right.
Or a wonder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but totally.
Even if it's that one thing they remember you by, it's enough. Right?
Oh yeah, at least you're remembered.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I think some of the cons are, it's not exactly stable.
Mm-hmm.
It's very competitive. There's pros, but and at the end of the day, there's pros and cons to be successful at anything.
Mm,
so, I mean, if you have the option and you can do what you want,
do it, right.
Then by all means, do
it. Yes, yes. If you have a rich husband, do it. But you can make it work even if you don't. Now, what do you see yourself doing in the next 5 or 10 years? What is your goal as an actor?
I would say to continue doing what I'm doing. I mean, I love doing TV shows, and I love doing films. And, you know, I did start out in the horror genre, and yes, I happily take the title Scream Queen.
Absolutely. I'd like to be called a Scream Queen, but for a different reason.
Right?
But
totally. But then, you know, when I segued over into being able to play different characters, of being able to play, you know, comedy, drama, campy, everything like that, I think it leaves a lot open for me in the future. So I just will continue down that path.
So you don't want to, like some actresses say, well, you know, I've been doing drama so long or horror, I want to do more comedy. Do you feel like you want to move down that path, like doing more film or more television, or does it not matter to you as long as you're working?
Well, I mean, it does matter, but I mean, there's some things that I wouldn't work on, okay. But for the most part, I mean, if I'm working and it's like, you know, quality, and it's the character's a good fit and everything, then yeah, I'm very happy to be working. As far as like, do I have any desire to like direct or anything? I really don't. I think I tried it one time in like this really small commercial, and I was like, I can't even tell you what to do. So I was like, forget it, I'll stick with this end of it.
It's very, very different.
It's amazing
to me how actors make that transition so seamlessly. I remember I was cast on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I was being directed by Fred Savage, who was the little boy. I mean, I grew up watching him as the little boy on the Wonder Years,
right?
And all of a sudden, he's directing me in a scene, and I'm thinking, this is so odd and bizarre. And then, you know, one of my very good friends is Ernest Thomas. He was a star of What's Happening, which was on African-American comedy in the 70s. And it's so strange to see what, like, you end up meeting people that you watched and they were stars or icons or people you loved. And in this business, you may get to work with them. And I think that's a perk
of being
an actor. What do you feel are some of the things that you've encountered that you never in a million years thought that you would, like, run into a person, work with a certain person,
be in
a certain situation? What? Like,
well, it was on, one of them was on Brothers and Sisters when I did a guest star on there. And I remember that it was downtime, and I was sitting down in, like, one of the waiting areas, but it was kind of out in the open, not in the dressing rooms. And I just remember sitting over there, and Sally Field was sitting in the chair next to me, like knitting or doing something. And I literally am sitting there, and I just thought, how am I sitting next to Sally Field right now? Like, what? I was like, this is like crazy. Like, I couldn't even believe it. And I kept like kind of looking at her and being like, okay, that's what a trip.
So odd. I know. I worked on Glee. And it was so weird because I was cast in this movie. David Schwimmer was the executive producer, and it was called Humanoid. And we went to the wrap party, and Albert and I got to meet Steve Perry from Journey. So, of course, me being tacky, I said, oh my God, do you know how many hickeys I got in the back seat to your songs? He loved it. He loved it. He's like, God, he loved it. And then I got to meet Eric Stoltz. Flash forward, this was in 2000. Flash forward, I end up being in Glee and in a scene with Jane Lynch, and he's the director.
Oh, my gosh.
But do you know what I'm saying? And you just never know. So that's a perk about being an actor, because you never know who you're going to be in a scene with or get to do. There's the gong. So you never know. That's one of the great, great perks about it. What are some of the do's and don'ts, really quick, about if you're pursuing a career as an actor?
Well, the do's are definitely be professional, show up on time, be prepared. People remember.
That's
so
right.
And I mean, the don'ts are those exact opposite.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just all about, you know, and stay active. And even in the downtime, because everybody has downtime, no matter how busy they always seem like they always are, it'll pass.
Right.
And just stick with it. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's like really perseverance.
And who are some of your favorite actresses and your favorite movies?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love Naomi Watts, and I love Charlize Theron,
yes.
And I love Emily Blunt. And
oh, yeah.
And I, well,
What would be your dream role? Like, your dream role?
Well,
in what type of movie?
I've been obsessed with Snow White and the Huntsman, and I would have loved to have played Snow White, but I'm a little too old for that. But I could have played Charlize's character, Queen, which I happily would have done.
Right.
I love the Shawshank Redemption. Talk about seeing a movie 1,000 times. Mm. I literally can watch it. Even if it's halfway through, I'll start watching it again.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it.
Or, any chance at... have you worked with anyone from Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, gosh, I wish.
Tim Robbins?
No, but I saw him walking down the street in Santa Monica.
That counts. And what do you really, what is the best and worst advice that you've ever gotten when you told someone that you were pursuing a career as an actress? Because you know there is, the best is like, oh, yeah. But you know you hear some bad advice. So if somebody's telling you this, don't listen because Alina's going to tell you what it is.
Well, the best advice was go for it.
Yeah.
You know, do it all the way. You can do it. Bad advice I have heard that was told to me early on in the business was if it's like somebody was charging you for pictures or to get
yes.
with an agency, then it's probably not real, because if they want you, they're going to take you.
That's
you don't
so
have to
good.
Pay for it.
That's good. If anybody says contract too, and you're like a non-union actor, tell us what to do with that. Run for the hills.
Right.
Because they basically, it's bogus, and they want you to sign up. They actually are doing that now. I've run into a couple actors who are non-union, and these companies are signing them up to contracts. And basically what they want them to do is to go out and book work, and then they get a percentage.
Oh, I didn't hear about that
one.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for the tip.
Yeah. Oh, you're way beyond that.
Well, right.
But that's what's happening now.
See, yeah.
It's scams.
It's too bad when people take advantage of other people, especially when you're trying to start out in the business and you really don't have a lot of information. Like I didn't. I was lucky that I had a friend, and then they kind of like showed me the way in a way. But a lot of it I had to figure out for myself. But I mean, that's the other thing too. It's like, just ask a lot of questions if you don't know.
Right.
Just find somebody who does.
Right. And they used to have so many workshops where you were lucky enough to get in front of some of the top casting directors. I heard that they no longer have workshops anymore. Did you hear that? How casting directors don't have workshops anymore?
No, when did that happen?
Somebody was on the show and they were basically saying that they don't even have workshops. Casting directors won't do them anymore because there are so many. Because I loved them personally. You go pay your $40, $50, you get in front of the casting director, and if you're lucky enough, they will remember you because they do take your headshot. And,
right.
I mean, I did that for Signature Studios, and I met the wonderful 2-time Emmy-winning director Mary Lou Belli, and she and I are still friends. So there was so much to these workshops, and now I'm sad that I hear they don't do them anymore.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm going to have to look into that. I think it was a while back. And the last thing is, what do you feel you would give as advice to someone starting out in this career? Any type of advice that is going to help them right away in the inception of their career?
Get headshots immediately.
And you don't have to pay like
$1,000. No, you don't have to pay $1,000. You can get very reasonable headshots for, you know, a couple $100.
Right.
You know, now everything's up online. So I would go to the acting sites right away and I would upload the pictures immediately.
Yeah.
And if you don't have representation, then just put your own information in there. But, you know, obviously I haven't really found that there's been anything crazy on there when somebody contacts me about anything. It's all very professional and things like that. So, that's what I would say right off the bat. And then after that,
just work on getting your demo reel.
Yeah, work on getting footage to get
it's
a demo reel.
It's very hard, though, Alina. I mean, there's so many, when you're non-union, so many people are, they offer what's called copy credit and meals, right?
Right.
And you get your meals. If you're lucky, you might get a bag of chips and a hot dog. That's a bad situation. But most of the time, craft services are pretty good. But it's really hard to get the copy. I have been calling on some projects from 1999, never get them. You know, I did a music video for Sam Bear. never got that copy. But anyway, lastly, what do you want to tell your fans? What are we going to see you in? What excitement is happening in your life that we need to look forward for? Because you got some stuff coming out.
Well, I have a couple of shows coming out and the film coming out, and I'll definitely put that out there.
Where can we find that?
I don't have the dates on those yet. And okay. I know that, like, Evil Things, we literally just shot. Okay. And then they're still editing The War Within okay. Us. So as soon as I have dates, of course, I will tweet them out.
And tweet them out.
Tweet them. Tweet Facebook them. You know,
what
all
is
the
best
stuff.
Place to follow you? Is it Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook.
Instagram?
Yeah, I have a public page on Facebook. And then I have an Instagram. And it's all under Alina Madison. And okay. My website will be back up. We're just revamping it right now.
Yeah. I was like, what? So I just...
Yeah, it was...
IMDb.com.
Yeah, it needed to be. It needed to be a little more updated.
Well, you do have to keep your website updated.
Yes.
And so we need to, maybe it'll be up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple weeks. But right now, just go to imdb.com, Facebook, Instagram. Do you have Snapchat?
I do.
Oh, what's your Snapchat? Because I didn't.
It's Alina Madison.
So it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I tried to find you. I couldn't get you. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to try to snap you.
Okay.
All right. Well, last words for your fans. Everybody's supporting
you. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Thank you for the support and everything. It's been, you know, a lot of years, and it's been really great. And then when I've seen them at the festivals or, you know, at the rounds, they're always just telling me, you know, well, I want to see another horror film, and you did great in this, and you were amazing. And they go to the screenings, and they really do show up for them. So just thank you, everybody, for all of it.
You heard that from Alina Madison. We are going to say goodbye to Alina Madison, but look her up on imdb.com, Facebook, and Twitter, and Instagram. She's gorgeous. She's funny. And can I get a scream? Can I get a horror scream before we go? Come on, girl.
Okay.
Scream queen, Alina Madison. We're going to end it with the scream. Take it away. Yes.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.